Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it is 11:14. It's halfway through the month of November. I should mention I'm not going to be able to do the show next week. I'll be busy.
Oh, okay. Don't tell us.
Right. I'm not going to tell you.
All right, don't tell me. Anyway, we have a lot going on. We saw the markets take a dip last week. As a matter of fact, the weekly winning streak is broken. I think we had five weeks of winning for most of the major averages. But last week, the Dow Jones, S&P 500, Russell 2000, the NASDAQ, all posted losses. Nothing major, but losses nonetheless. Maybe about down 0.2%, down 0.1%. I think the small caps posted the worst of all. And then today we come in and the markets dropped overnight. And of course, once the bell rang, what happened? They tried to squeeze it higher. By about 11 a.m., things were moving up. And by the end of the day, it was another, 0.2% day down on the market. So not seeing a lot of action. Although the futures are a little bit squirrely this evening. I'm not sure what's going on there. But there was a lot of news that we'll talk about what's happening. I was in New York over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. What'd you do?
Well, let me just tell you. When they say there's no inflation out there, New York hasn't heard this discussion. It's like we're seeing almost prices increase by the hour.
Yeah, I've noticed this in a lot of situations that make no sense.
I can't tell you what I spent on taxis. I don't even want to look at my bill. For Thursday night I got in, Friday, Saturday, Sunday I left.
Were they Ubers or taxis?
Just taxis. It's a little bit. It's almost easier in Manhattan these days to get a taxi, and the prices are not that different. So I went to Sammy's Romanian. Have you been? Have you
heard the subway?
Yeah.
I've never been to Sammy's Romanian.
You've heard of it?
No, never heard of it.
It's like a Jewish traditional bubby restaurant with all the food. Like, for example, the guy was making something tableside. He was mixing something up in a bowl. I said, "What are you making over there?" So I'm making Jewish guacamole. I said, "Oh, what is that? Chopped liver." Okay. With all the onions, cooked onions and browned onions and hard boiled eggs. Absolutely delicious. Everything in this place is a recipe, by the way, for a heart attack.
Is it chicken livers or beef livers?
Chicken livers.
Yeah. Chicken livers are delicious.
It was so good. So I said, "Oh, look at that. They have these really cool bottles of vodka that are frozen on the outside." They put like the bottle of vodka in a square milk carton, fill it up with water and freeze it. So when you get the bottle on your table, it's encased in ice. So we had four people. Let's get a bottle of vodka. So we got a bottle of vodka. We had the steaks. I had the stuffed cabbage. We had the latkes. It just went on and on and on. It was like a bar mitzvah. Okay. So I don't know what came over me, but after the four of us finished that bottle of vodka, you know what I said?
Let's have another bottle of vodka.
Let's have another bottle of vodka.
Okay. Yeah.
I was so gone.
Hard for me to guess that, but I managed it.
I was out of it by the schlepping in the streets in 30 degree weather in Manhattan after two bottles of vodka. And the bill for four people?
$15.
No, it was $560.
$560?
Yeah, that was my record. That's my four person record.
That's your four-person record?
Yeah.
I've topped that with two people many a time.
Really? I mean, I had a three-person at 470.
Really?
Yeah. But
I won't even discuss any of my prices then.
I mean, maybe back when, I don't know, but it's maybe with other people, but not coming out of my wallet. And there was a white, I was thinking of you because there was a white truffle festival going on in Manhattan for the weekend.
Yeah, they do that. They do that in Manhattan. And cool. Some of these restaurants bring out these baseball sized white truffles.
Yeah, they had some places were serving $10 a gram on any dish. Some places had specialty dishes that were going on. There was a dinner for $4.50 a person where they had like just this, you know, a whole truffle dinner going on. There was hands-on cooking classes and truffle shaving classes. Very cool.
Truffle shaving classes.
You know? Anyway, let's
say I have an Italian truffle shaver.
Oh.
The real one.
There's different. I mean, I had a lot of truffles not this weekend, but over the last week. And they're quite extraordinary. Love them.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very tasty.
Let's talk about some back to some business here. We have the latest news on the tax plan. The Senate has proposed to delay cutting the corporate taxes until 2019, which is kind of disappointing, I guess.
It seems to me that they're just asking for it not to get cut.
I you know, there was one plan that said that they're going to phase it out after 10 years. Which, you know, and it's amazing. They're right about something. They're right about the fact that cutting corporate taxes so low is going to blow a gigantic hole in the deficit. You know, we're going to be definitely running negative on, you know, with receipts. So I think there's some House, Senate Republicans that are like, no, this is not happening. We're not going to go that far in the hole, like, a $1.5 trillion. Just to get the taxes cut. So there's some differences with this bill also from the House bill in terms of some timing issues. The SALT deduction may not be there, the state and local tax deduction. There's some argument about that. Home mortgage interest limits are reduced. And there's more personal tax levels. Like, remember there was three? I think they cut it down to three or so, maybe four. Now it's like six.
That's what it's always been.
I know. So I'm not sure with this whole...
Sounds like they're not doing anything.
That's a good point that you made. That's a good point. Right. They're going to... I don't even know why the whole thing was to cut corporate taxes and why they have to make it so complicated. And God knows how much fat is in this deal. You know, there's got to be some. What are you swishing?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm surprised I got that. I had... I had something to eat and I have a glass of water and I just kind of swished my mouth.
Oh,
clean the palate. Oh, I had no idea this mic was that sensitive.
Yeah, we have a good connection one way at least.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway,
just to mention for people out there, he says one way because to me, right now, Andrew sounds like Porky Pig.
Porky Pig.
Yeah. I'm going to make a small recording of this.
I'd like to hear it. China economic numbers were a bit softer than expected. Industrial output rose 6.2%, supposedly, on a year-over-year basis in October.
Yeah, supposedly is the operative word.
Yeah, missing the estimates of 6.3% and lagging the 6.6% increase that happened in September. And fixed asset investment growth also slowed down in the January through October period to 7.3% from 7.5%, and analysts expected 7.4%. I am still... amazed that a country that big with that many people, that many moving parts, that many sub-cities and areas could actually even get any kind of reading on a timely basis that's accurate. I think it's a bunch of hoo-ha.
I agree. It doesn't make any sense.
And they're always so
close. We already know that people are giving numbers out that they know the other guy wants to hear, so.
Yeah. So now we see this. And because we're supposed to believe this information, that's the whole game, right? Believe the information. And what's happening is that, well, if it drops, I guess you got to believe that too. Unless you want to start throwing in, oh, no, it dropped. But you know what? This information is bogus anyway. We think it's better.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. But also we saw some recent global manufacturing numbers starting to moderate. I'm starting to talk like a Fed official here. Starting to moderate. Which is creating some concern for global investors as well. So that could be part of what's going on. And then we have what I think is really interesting. This is something that's in your area of discussion, which is the whole bond market. You know, what's going on with this whole bond market? Mm-hmm. So we've seen that junk bonds, for example, over the last several days have come down pretty well. The HYG and the JNK ETF, which holds junk bonds, or below investment grade, down about 3% or so all of a sudden, when we're seeing that the treasuries are still being bid. In other words, people are buying the more safe assets, or the safer assets, and they're selling off the more concerning and less safe assets. So the spread is starting to widen out. Maybe this something under the surface that people are realizing that, you know what, the spread should be a lot wider. There should be a lot more, you know, in the high yield junk market, the operative word is high yield. There's a reason why they're high yield, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're risky.
Right. So the thing is that they've been bid so hard because of the excess liquidity, the need for returns, the central banks buying everything out there and just saying, okay, well, we can't get anything at a decent rate. We'll just step it up and have to go up the risk scale. And so what's happened is that they bid them up to a point that's, you know, bubblicious. Just evaluations don't make sense. When mm-hmm. something should be, let's say, you know, comparatively a 5% spread or a 6% spread greater than Treasuries, when you have it only at a 2% spread or maybe a 3% spread over the yield of Treasuries, something may be wrong there.
Yes, I would say so.
So what I did was I prepared for you, sir, in the first chart that we have. You can find these charts over on DH Unplugged, by the way. The first thing I did is let's take a look at the yield curve. Now, for those of you that don't know what the yield curve is, it's looking at the shortest treasuries to the longest treasury. So the one-year treasury to the 30-year treasury and charting in a line currently where the yield is on those various maturities. And then what I did is I looked back and I said, okay, well, what did it look like, you know, 6 months ago or the beginning of the year? And you can notice on this chart, you're seeing that chart?
Mm-hmm.
The blue line, the dark blue line, is much flatter than, let's say, the red line.
Right, which is up and up against and even crossed over the blue line.
Yeah, so we're seeing a flatter yield curve. A flatter yield curve means that in this circumstance, the long end came down and the short end came up. And that makes sense with the Fed raising rates. However, this is not a good recipe for the banks or the financial institutions.
No, you want it pretty much like it is at the far other end,
mm-hmm.
where there's a big gap between the blue and the red.
Yeah, like the green. The green is a good normal curve. Or even the other blue back in 2014. That's kind of a normal curve. But we're seeing a much greater flattening of this. So something's going on. You know, we're not exactly sure what's going on here, but there's something going on. And again, you don't see a flat yield curve. This is not flat, but it's flattening very often when the short-term rates are higher. And that's usually your borrowing rates are on the right side and the lending rates are on the left side. You know, depending on who it is. If the banks, in other words, the savings are on the left side. So you bank and you get, maybe 1% and you borrow money at 3% or 5% or whatever it is. So they're not getting the spreads there. The other thing I wanted to look at was the next chart, which is the 2 and 10-year treasury spread, or they call it the 2 and 10s. So what this looks at is the differential, simple subtraction, of the 2-year treasury yield and the 10-year treasury yield. Again, looking at that spread. And we charted this back to 2007. Now, let me just step back for a second. During recessions, you usually have what's called an inverted yield curve, where the long end is below the short end. So all of a sudden, short end, you see a lot higher, and the long end is lower. It just seems to happen. There's a lot of reasons why that is. But what you're seeing here is, back in 2007, the spread, it was basically flat. See that? The differential between the 2 and the 10 on the left-hand side of the chart was negligible.
Right.
So what happens here is that we're starting to see that over time, we saw that there was a significant change. Back, let's see, I'm just going to pick 2008, we started to see that spread widen dramatically. That's when the Fed was lowering rates. And now since 2000, and I'm going to say 2014, we peaked out in the spread and it's starting to come down dramatically. And we're pretty much at the lowest point right now that we've seen since 2008, I believe.
Yes, well, it looks like.
So I'm not sure what that means exactly, and seriously, because...
I know what it means.
What does it mean?
Bad news.
Bad news on the horizon. But it means it does. It is not a really good normal look. And some of that has to do with the fact of the Fed, and some of that has to do with the fact of the other central banks around the world, what they're doing. But something interesting to keep an eye on. Now, over the weekend, I don't know if you watched, but Bitcoin plunged 30%.
Yeah, it does that every so often.
Yep. Went from a high of about 7,800 after the fork idea was scrapped. It was really interesting because the word was that people were getting into Bitcoin ahead of the fork, ahead of the SegWit 2 fork and the splits and all this that was going on. And one of the reasons is they were hoping to get whatever was coming out of this, the Bitcoin Cash or Bitcoin Gold or the SegWit or whatever was going to be coming out of the fork, essentially a spinoff. There was going to be that coming just like the last time it happened. So everybody's getting pushing their money in. And then all of a sudden, when the fork idea was scrapped, Bitcoin flew directly up, which was really weird. Because everybody's getting on for one reason, then all of a sudden the reason changes. You would expect it to go in reverse. Then over
that
the weekend,
that would be my guess, but it's Bitcoin we're talking about.
Oh, that's a good point. And every time I talk about Bitcoin, by the way, I get emails like, you know nothing about Bitcoin. You know nothing about cryptocurrency.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Yeah. It's kind of like when you talk about Apple, right? Or you talk about...
Unless somebody bought it at 50 cents, which is doable, and has kept it. Or nickel. And has kept all these thousands of Bitcoins. I wouldn't listen to anybody.
Okay.
And the guys who have done that, and there are a few, I'm hoping or thinking... They don't care.
They don't care. You know why? Because they're on a beautiful yacht somewhere.
Yeah, 50, 100 million bucks out of the deal.
Yeah. They're not worried about
not
whatever.
And they're not listening to this show.
No.
So anybody who criticizes you is probably a Bitcoin loser.
Ah, Bitcoin losers. That's what you are, Bitcoin losers. But then the Bitcoin did rally back $1,000 from its lows into Monday, back to like 6,500 now. So it was down pretty low. Pretty amazing.
Jeez. Yeah.
Now
it's fascinating.
It is fascinating.
It goes back to $400 I'm in.
In. Doubled up. We're going to get two coins.
Yeah, get two coins.
The big mover in the Dow Jones Industrial Average has been a fascinating discussion of late. It's GE.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit on the last show.
Yep.
I didn't think it was going to keep caving.
I'm pretty surprised. Well, I knew that there was going to be a big meeting coming up on Monday, and the potential was for them to cut their dividend, which they did. They didn't have enough. Their operating income was not enough to cover their dividend, and it was kind of they were bleeding on that. So they cut their dividend by 50%, which you haven't seen a lot of that lately. Mostly companies are increasing their dividends.
Yes, they shouldn't be cutting it.
Right. So now management cut the dividend by 50% in this meeting. They announced a restructuring plan, which basically was a giant yawn. Nobody was impressed. Even the people that were trying to be impressed were not impressed. They didn't say anything they're going to do that was substantial. The stock was down at the 17 handle today. Major volume on the stock in the last 2 days. Levels not seen since 2012. Now the big question.
Yeah, would they be removed from the Dow Jones Industrial Average? I really had no idea that they were the oldest surviving company in the index.
They are. The oldest surviving company in the original industrials from the Dow Jones Industrial Index, which is not so industrial anymore.
No, not hardly.
So the company is now, the new CEO, John Flannery, says the company is going to focus on health, power, and the aviation business. Light bulbs didn't seem to make the cut. So GE has dropped down 43% year to date, finished up right about $18 today. But that last
I guess days, they didn't make the jump to LEDs.
I suppose not. That was Cree.
Yeah, Cree did.
They seem to be behind time. They remind me of the Xerox of
Cree?
No, GE. It's like the Xerox, the technology of industrials. Now, Xerox
just dropping the ball all the time?
All the time. They have the ideas, they have the ability, and they just don't do anything about it. This stock was $32 in the beginning of the year. GE we're talking about.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. So there's a chart of that you can take a look at. Now here's, I'd like to, if I could, officially announce the You've Got Balls Award.
Okay.
It goes to Greece. again. The prime minister said on Monday that his government will distribute about 1.4 billion euros to 3.5 million austerity hit Greeks following a better than expected fiscal performance. Now, at first, you're like, oh, that's nice. It's like a kind of a dividend for living there, right?
Yeah.
You do better, you get a couple bucks, whatever it is. Maybe it's $1,000 or whatever the number is, and that's great. He says that Greece has outperformed its bailout target for a primary surplus, excluding debts. This is important. Excluding debt servicing costs. So they outperformed, excluding the... So it's kind of like, hey, I did really well this year, excluding my expenses. You know? I made so much money this year, if we don't count my expenses. They were up 1.7% of gross output in 2017, and its performance was surprisingly good. He also said, for a second year, we are in a position, so they did this once before, to distribute a social dividend to the people who need it most. Better prepared and more effective this year, we'll be able to pay an even bigger payout. Now, here's the problem. Do you remember that Greece basically is in bankruptcy and they've had several bailouts that they require paying back?
Oh, and so this can't be, this can't make the creditors happy.
No. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine being a creditor of Greece and all of a sudden they're handing out checks to people?
Well, you're right. They got balls.
I want to move to Greece.
kind of enjoyable.
In the second runner-up for the You've Got Balls Award, a bipartisan group of Senate lawmakers have reached a tentative agreement to ease some of the costly regulations on U.S. regional banks, which were put in place following the financial crisis.
Yeah.
So the deal seeks to exempt banks with up to $250 billion in assets from heightened regulatory scrutiny from the Federal Reserve, up from a threshold of $50 billion. So if you have, you know, the biggest of banks, now as you got bigger, you'll be exempt from some of the excessive regulatory scrutiny.
Then, that makes sense.
Plus some smaller banks will be exempt from the Volcker Rule, allowing them to make speculative investments.
Why would we want our little banks to make speculative investments? That's not what a bank is for.
Yep. And why would we allow the smaller banks? And if that were the case, and if this goes through, will some of the larger banks have special relationships or maybe buy positions in the smaller banks to hide under the radar?
Ah, it's a great idea.
You know they're going to do that.
Of course they're going to do it. That's the way to go.
Yeah. So, of course, Elizabeth Warren was beside herself. Anything that goes with the banks, she gets.
Yeah, she just waves her arms and yells and screams and brings people in and slams down a gavel and nothing comes of it.
But, it's amazing to me that, you know, we constantly go back to the same shenanigans. And for whatever reason, banks are making record profits. Things are going swimmingly well for the economy. So now we're going to blow a bigger hole in the budget by lowering the taxes on corporations. And now we're going to the banks and saying, you know what? You know, you've been good boys for the last 3 or 4 years because, of course, they were legislated to do so. It's not like they did it on their own. You know, left to their own devices, things don't go well with banks.
No.
And now we're going to roll back some of the Dodd-Frank rules and roll back the Volcker rules.
I don't know why they just don't go back to Glass-Steagall and this would be over, because you can't make these arguments. So who cares what Volcker rule is? A bank is not allowed to make speculative investments. A bank is not allowed to own an insurance company. The bank is not allowed to do all this stuff that gets them into trouble.
But what? But is it that Congress is just really stupid?
No, they got the bank. They pay for all their campaigns. The banks are big spenders.
So they're bought.
Yeah, of course. Don't you think?
Of course I think that, but I'm just making sure we both think that.
Yeah.
It's just beyond my understanding.
Banks, insurance, and drug companies.
Yeah.
The big three. The Trinity.
Mark my words that with all the things that have gone on, if anybody believes that banks will maintain order under their own supervision, and if they're not regulated, that we will not have, not that we won't have a financial meltdown in the future with something, because there's been a lot of them, but there is a need to keep them in, you know, kind of a little bit constrained.
Yes, I have to agree.
And that's not only here, it's globally. I mean, because they know, listen, a bank knows at the end of the day that no matter what they do, no matter how bad it gets, they will get bailed out. They know that. That's the basic operating thesis of banks. Things go.
Yeah, and they always get, once in a while they make an example out of one bank like Lehman Brothers or Bear Stearns. But generally speaking, yeah, especially if they're really big.
So if you know that you're always going to get bailed out and you know that you really can't get in too much trouble, that nobody's gone to jail, and if they did even have the hint of going to jail, it was kind of backtracked a bit. If you know all this, don't you think that you would probably press the envelope a little bit?
More than a little.
Yeah. So now they're going to lift some of the veil of requirements on them. It's asinine. It's just totally asinine. It bugs the crap out of me.
Apparently.
Yeah. Well. All right. Let's get to another bank here. All right. So the stupidity awards are over. Although maybe this is not stupid. This is just facts here. Goldman Sachs has written down to zero the value of its stake in the Weinstein Company. The movie studio whose co-chairman Harvey Weinstein stepped down last month following sexual assault allegations. It comes as the Weinstein Company looks for fresh financing. what happens is that this company is so wrapped up in his name that he obviously has all these problems. And all of a sudden, somehow magically, all the cash dries up. Because, obviously a lot of things aren't, going to go forward now. They're looking for financing after more than 50 women claim that he sexually assaulted or harassed them over the last three decades. I guess they didn't have a good plan in place.
You'd think they would, because everyone knew what was going on. Did you see the Larry David thing on the Saturday Night Live where he went off on Weinstein being a Jew?
Yeah, well, he said every Jews, not, yeah, he was saying that, it's like when I say everything happens in Florida, he was saying, yeah, of course he's a Jew. You got to give us a bad name.
Yeah, so it was something like that. But he got so much grief for that.
He got grief for what he did after that. Did you see what he did after that?
No.
He tried to do a whole bit where he said, hey, let me ask you something. Speaking of Jews, I'm paraphrasing this. He said, you never hear of things like, in a Holocaust camp, somebody saying, oh.
Oh, yeah. No, I heard that. Yeah.
Check out that one over there. She's looking real good.
Yeah. The Holocaust material.
Yeah. And what are you doing after we get out of here? Maybe I'll get you some latkes. And yeah. I mean, he went on this really ridiculous and stupid discussion. There was nothing funny about it.
It was, to his mind, it was hilarious.
I don't even understand how he can square with that. It was just, the whole thing was just stupid.
Well, he got a lot of grief for the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Really bad. But again, we are seeing the continuations we talked about last show of this whole, the accusations and pointed discussion about sexual harassment, like 35 years ago by somebody.
40.
I mean, and what's interesting is that these people are stepping down like immediately, or it seems like everything is over as soon as we talked about this last time. As soon as you are accused, it's done.
Yeah.
Nobody else. They don't.
Time to clean house.
An interesting thing is, he grabbed me by the neck and I had black and blues. I didn't tell anybody. Nobody saw it. I never talked about it till today. Well, wait a minute. Don't we have to have some proof of this? Not that I don't believe that this actually maybe happened, but I'm just talking about the due course of the legal process.
It's the new era.
And you know, you mentioned something that I think on Twitter tonight at The Real Dvorak, about how all of a sudden when Joe Biden announced that he was going to potentially be president, all of a sudden this crapola starts flowing out about him swimming nude and groping,
swimming,
group, and groping.
Pervert, yeah.
It seems to me that there's too much of a coincidence on some of this political stuff that's going on, like what happened in Alabama.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good example.
Really good example.
We don't know about any of this for 40 years, and now 5 weeks before the election, this all comes out in the Washington Post. Why didn't it come out last year?
Yep. 20 years ago.
Out 20 years ago? I mean, it never came out. And the same thing I noticed this, because I started seeing this with Hillary, because the theory is that nobody wants Hillary. Hillary makes it sound as though she's going to run again. Well, they don't want to. Democrats don't want to see Hillary run again. She's an old lady, but she's got a machine. She could probably get the nomination, and they're scared to death. So they start slamming her. All this anti-Hillary stuff's coming up. But then Biden shows up, says does something, and they start slamming him. I'd be very careful about the media. I don't trust them.
Not only that, it's don't forget, it's not just the media, because it's this sub-media, this social media, the outskirt media that can put anything they want on any site or social media platform, and it gets major play.
Yeah.
Unvetted.
I'm pretty sure it's not the Russians.
And non-corrupt. Oh. Not the Russians. It can't be the Russians. I mean, President Trump said that he believes Putin that he didn't do it, so it's not the Russians.
Yeah, the Russians don't care about Biden. If it was the Russians, they'd be promoting Hillary running again.
Yeah. Supposedly that they did pretty well with her.
Yeah.
Uranium.
Yeah.
Uranium.
Uranium.
Japan. I find this fascinating. Japan's SoftBank. You know, this is a major bank, of course, investment group that seems to be have an unlimited amount of money to be buying companies.
I've always been very, you know, I know him. I don't know him as he doesn't invite me over for dinner, but I know Son. I met him in a specific environment where you're meeting him. And he also owned Ziff Davis for a while. So I ran into him quite a bit. And I knew a couple of guys that ran his group, and I've always followed. And he's from Cal Berkeley. He's got a degree in economics from Berkeley, and he is Korean. And I've always been baffled by this guy and how he manipulates the system.
He must be funded by the government.
Yeah, he's always got something like that going on.
It's like Jack Ma. Something about him just doesn't sit right with me.
Something suspicious about these guys.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden he's just on the stage, one of the richest people and with the biggest company and with making this money, and who knows. But now they say they're considering an investment in Uber Technologies, the old ride-sharing company. They said if conditions on share price and a minimum of shares are not satisfactory for them, well, they're not going to do it. However, Uber seemed to announce early in the week that a deal with SoftBank and Dragoneer Investment Group is moving forward. Upwards of $10 billion, and then $1 billion initial, and then possibly more to follow. It's a pretty significant chunk of change,
I'd say,
in a company that's not making money.
What can you do?
Yeah. Well, I guess they're. Yeah. Hey, by the way, thanks for all the donations last week. We got some really nice donations. Some great people out there. If you want to donate, for whatever reason, you're tickled by our discussion, or you're fascinated by some of the things that we talk about, or, you know, you want us to keep us around for a little bit longer, you can go over to dhunplugged.com and click on the little yellow donate button. You know what's really cool about that button, by the way? It changes color with the actual mood of the user. It's fascinating technology. You've seen this, of course, right?
Mood of the user, yes. The mood of the user, JavaScript.
Right. So what happens is, if you don't believe me, by the way, just go, listen.
Yeah, go, just go click on it.
Yeah, click on it, see what happens. So just go over and click on that button. I'm not, if you're not feeling really, you're feeling a little sick, you know, you're not feeling good, it may turn blue, for example.
If you went to Trader Joe's, you might have that indigestion.
Right. It may turn, it's like green. It will turn green. It knows, right? You hover over it. And if it doesn't change when you hover over it, just click it. Just click it once if it doesn't do anything. Because once you click it, everything changes once you click that. So there you go. We got the close-up of the pin for GE, which I don't know. Let's see if that's actually, I think it's closed right now. But let's see where we are because we could actually get a little peek inside of what's going on. Yep, here we go. So yours and my guesses are relatively close. The average price for entries is $20.26. You're at 2050. I'm at 2062. We're off by about 15%. We have Warren S. is in the lead right now, actually. I got a lot of people on this. With about 1.7%. Nicola N. is 3.5%. Lance is 6.5%. And then it goes to hell from there. I think Susie put in the wrong number. She missed a decimal point, so we're not going to count that. Ryan L. is in the far back there, 2465, 37% off.
What was Susie's guess?
$2.14.
Well, maybe that was her guess.
Maybe. Could be. It's on there. It's on its way there. Maybe she's not going to be, maybe she'll win. So we play this, of course, on a regular basis, and we'll send out a great t-shirt and winner certificate and all that. Let's see what else we have here. Oh, yeah. I want to talk about, boy, the millennials are just trouncing.
The Dodgers?
Yep, trouncing them. I mean,
what do you expect?
It's pretty ugly.
If the market collapses, it'll go the other way.
So I have a, do you want a Razor report? Are you interested in this?
I don't know you bought some cheap blades. Yeah, I'm very interested in this.
I got to tell you something. People are into this whole razor thing, this whole shaving thing. Can I tell you how much they're into it? I've gotten more comments on Twitter and emails and gifts. Let me tell you something. First of all, I got to thank Timothy Kernan from Michigan. He wrote me a 2-page letter about shaving. Okay. He sent me, you may not know this. You may not know this. You may not believe this. He also sent me a book on shaving.
You have to publish his letter.
He sent me from Pagonotomy, Pogonotomy.
Yeah.
Press. The Leisure Guy's Guide to Gourmet Shaving.
Is this people, this I've heard about these people. They eat the shavings.
This book is, there's a chapter about the blade. There's a chapter about soaps, how you soak it. And do you do it in the shower or in the sink? A warming scuttle option, care of your brush, different kinds of brushes. A lot of different kinds of a horsehair brush, a lathering brush, a shaving brush, hot toweling. This is a, hang on a second, 175-page book on shaving.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Well, either that or it's psychotic.
Chapter 12, skin problems. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. And he has actually in, the author is Michael Hamm. He's been shaving for more than half of a century, but only belatedly discovered how to shave with pleasure. He began posting what he had learned from his and others' experience on his blog, leisureguide.wordpress.com. There's a ton of, there's a whole like appendix with places to go and forums. It's forums, Reddit forums and all that, and blade sampler packs, where to get them. He sent me 2 packs of razors. He sent me several sampler packs of these various shaving creams.
Now, the razors, what kind of razors are we talking about here?
The double, what do you call them? The single double edge.
The old-fashioned blade.
Safety blade, yeah. And he sent me this one that I used
He believes that that's a good shave.
I think it's a pretty good shave.
Think it's a good shave?
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed. Seriously. I'm not kidding. You know, it's just...
Did you ever try Gillette Blue Blades?
I've tried a bunch of blades.
Did you try Gillette Blue Blades? Did you try Gillette Red Blades?
Are they the actual blades you're talking about?
Yeah, brand. It's the brand.
So those are the safety razors.
This, the two-sided, it's that funny-looking blade.
Very thin.
that you drop it in a thing, you twist it, and it brings it and bends it, and right. then you can shave with it.
Right. This is he sent me a
single edge.
Yeah, two packs.
With two sides.
The one I put in today was the feather, which a lot of people say is the best. The feather, you know, and you drop it in there, and the Mercure razor that I have, nicely weighted, very well balanced. I lathered up with this stuff today called like Pro Razor or something like that, which was like this menthol eucalyptus thing, which kind of numbed your face a little bit, but yes, brightened it up. I'm telling you, there's something to this.
Oh, God.
There is something to this. He sent me, Proasso from Italy, which is a menthol eucalyptus. He sent me J.M. Fraser from Canada. It's the best. He wrote me the best glide cushion. He sent me Palmolive Classic from Europe. It's a palm oil, makes it really slick, and some like the clean, soapy scent. Yep. Yep.
Two pages. Your wife's going to divorce you.
Two pages. Yep. The two best internet shaving masters are Mantic 59 and Geo Fatboy on YouTube. So there's even YouTube channels on how to shave.
There's YouTube channels with the two shaving experts.
I love this. It's fantastic. I'm not kidding.
It's an eye roller.
I get a kick out of shaving now because I'm thinking of all the other people that get so much enjoyment out of this. Okay. Yeah. I think you should try it. I know I pushed you into I think you should try it. I may buy you a Mercure razor.
What is this guy's name that sent you this stuff?
This guy is, his name is Timothy Kiernan.
If Timothy Kiernan sends me a rig, I'll be glad to try it. Try all this stuff. I obviously don't have the whole blade holder, but I'm sure he's got extras.
Yeah, let me just read this one more part about this. The feathers, one of the blades, are the sharpest blade made, at least in my experience, as they are from Japan, like a samurai sword for your whiskers.
I'd love to check out the feather.
A samurai sword for your whiskers. Thank you, Timothy. That is awesome. It made my day. It was a big box. Came in with all this good stuff in it. Very cool. Very cool. All right. Buffalo Wild Wings. You know that company.
Oh, yeah.
Seems that, of course, on a Monday morning, or Monday afternoon maybe it was, they got a private equity company making an offer to buy them for $150 a share. Which is
what was it trading at?
It was trading about about 120, and it then... or 115 so.
What's the value? What is the market value of that?
150. They're trading at 150 now.
Yeah, what's the market? What's the market cap?
Oh, let's take a look at that. BWLD, enter. Market cap. 2.25 billion.
How many stores do they have?
There's going to be a lot of things here. Let's see. See, they import beers. They operate in Mexico, Saudi Arabia, Philippines, Panama, United Arab Emirates.
They're operating in Saudi Arabia?
It seems that way. Huh. They own Buffalo Wild Wings, R Taco, and Pizza Rev.
Well, I've never heard of anything but Buffalo Wild Wings, and I don't think I've ever seen one. Have you ever seen one? Do we know yes. they really exist?
Yeah, I have. I was in one. I was so unimpressed. It wasn't funny. Actually, I was in one in Manhattan. They have one right. They have one right on Times Square. 1,237 stores.
Wow. Now they're doing something right.
Yeah. That's big screens and beer and all that. All right. Let's see here. Let's get back to my list of things to talk about. Now, the Trump administration made its debut at the United Nations Conference on Climate Change on Monday. By giving a full-throated defense of fossil fuels and nuclear energy and answering questions driving down global greenhouse gas emissions. And, of course, there were all sorts of protesters there jeering. I like this piece because it was a full-throated defense. What is that? What is that? That's right in your face kind of that kind of thing?
I don't know. Where was this written?
I don't know. Some probably... Bloomberg or Reuters WAPO. It could be WAPO. Full-throated defense. Blah, 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 blah.
So why are all the greenhouse gas nutcases against nuclear energy? Because it gives off zero emissions.
It has some dangerous side effects, potentially.
Well, in the 1950s.
Well, recently with Fukushima.
Fukushima was not a new plant.
It
wasn't even designed to up to spec. I think it was from the 70s, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they had actually, they did it a little bit too close to the water area. That was the problem there with, they didn't erect the walls that they should have.
It was a miserable operation. All those guys should have been strung up.
Yep. That's why I have a lack of respect for the Japanese companies. You know, we see this time after time with the car manufacturers and with the airbag manufacturers and with corruption and with just overlooking things and the Fukushima. It seems like it's just very loosely, you know, don't worry about the people, just make some money.
They do have some funny issues. Yeah. Yes.
Speaking about restaurants, back to this for a second. A restaurant in New Jersey is putting a mandatory 18% tip on bills for tables with teens. Mm-hmm. So if you have a group of teens that are at a table, it's automatically 18% added on.
Yeah.
And it seems that all these teens gather at this restaurant on the weekends, Friday nights, and they don't tip.
Well, they do now.
Yeah, they do. But I was wondering about this because everywhere I go now, like I was in the taxi cabs and, you know, you go, oh, I'm going to press credit card. You know, it's on the screen. You put credit card, you know, automatic tip of 18% for a taxi cab. It was always 10% for a taxi.
They get. If you're living in the 50s.
I'm living in the 50s. And then what's with the 18 to 20 or 25% tips for meals? That is now normal.
You know what's funny? There's that. But to go back on that kind of the 10% tip, which used to be common in the 50s and 60s, the bill in the 50s and 60s would be like $10 and the tip would be $1.
Right.
Today's bill wouldn't be $10 to begin with. Right. It would be more like $150 and the 10-cent tip would have been $15. But no. They want you to give 18 or 20%. In other words, 30. So with the more, this reminds me of what I still think about this. When I was a kid, you used to be able to get gasoline for 25 cents a gallon.
Yeah, pretzels for a nickel. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not counting the pretzel price, but it used to be 25 cents a gallon. But they would come out and wash your windows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They'd give you a map that now costs like $5. You can get any map you want. They'd always have a rack of maps. You could just pick what you wanted so you could drive around using the map. They'd open the hood and check your oil.
Yeah. Fill your tires.
Make sure that you had enough oil. You had enough water in your radiator.
Yep.
And they check the tires sometimes. Some of them would. So they do all this extra stuff above and beyond the pump and the gas. And it was 25 cents a gallon. The price of gasoline is now $3.50 or so. Depends on where you live. San Francisco Bay Area is around $3.50. They don't do anything.
Yeah, you're on.
They don't even go outside. They stay locked up in a little booth so they don't get robbed.
Yep. And unless you're disabled or maybe elderly, they're not gonna. No matter what you do, you can't ask them to help you.
No, they won't help you, except in Oregon.
And New Jersey, I think, is mandatory. Full size.
Yeah, Oregon's mandatory. Oregon, you cannot pump your own gas or they'll shoot you.
But now, the 18% has wandered over to the taxi cab drivers. How about the delivery guys that, you know, come and, you know, they're getting a piece of delivery action? Or how about, you know what really irks me? When you go somewhere and you get a takeout and they have the bag.
Oh, yeah, they want you to pay tax on it.
A tip.
A tip, I mean.
They want a tip on the takeout.
I know, it's ridiculous. It happened. There's a pizza place. This happened to me. I'm thinking, why am I giving you a tip? I didn't get any service. You put the pizza in a box and gave it to me. You get a tip for that? How about this one? We're going to bitch about this sort of thing. If this is going to go this way, why don't we tip the UPS guy?
Yeah, he brings stuff to you.
Or the FedEx guy when he shows up with the box.
Surely. What about buffets? Do you tip the same on buffets? I'm doing all the work.
I don't see how you could possibly rationalizing tipping the same on a buffet.
Right. It doesn't seem logical.
No.
But it's now 18% from the 15% that was standard forever. And now it's 18 or more.
Yeah. Yeah, I know guys who commonly tip 20%.
Yeah, I don't. If you get, but the problem is that in my opinion, it's all based on the service, and you start just including it on there, unless it's some of these specialty restaurants that include the tips and all that. Then you have an entitlement and an expectation situation that's built, and people are maybe not going to do their best to earn that. When I waited tables,
in the olden days, you'd tip up to the amount of good service.
Yeah. And when I worked as a waiter back in the day, I'd work my ass off to get the tip.
Yes, you did. You used to. Here's the other thing. If you don't tip, these guys will take the bill that you signed and post it on the internet telling you what a cheap bastard you are.
Like, Pippin?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, he's known down here for no tipping. I ran into him in the gym a few times. Oh. Scottie Pippen. Big guy.
No tipping, Pippen. That's what he's got the name. He has to be no tipping because it rhymes.
Yeah. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, head of the Presidential Commission on Opioids, warned recently of the dangers of marijuana in a letter to Donald Trump earlier this month about the panel's findings, saying the current push for marijuana legalization could further fuel the opioid epidemic.
And how does that work?
You know, the slippery slope theory and the, that whole theory.
Yeah, the domino theory. That's why we're in Vietnam.
Yeah, you have a theory, you know, any drug will lead to something immediately that could kill you.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense.
There's somebody, he was bought out, but something fishy about this whole thing. Very fishy.
Didn't New Jersey legalize it recently or something?
I think they may have legalized medical.
Oh. Yeah. So it's going to further the opioid epidemic because people are going to get high and say, oh, this is not enough, I guess, I suppose. And then somehow figure a way to either get prescriptions or get it illegally on the street, because why not? They're getting drugs. Now, why? This is the problem. How come alcohol doesn't lead to opioids? How come we don't ever make that step?
Alcohol lobby.
Back to that again. So maybe this is from the alcohol lobby that bought him off. Because
I have no idea. It actually could be the alcohol lobby. It makes sense.
Yeah. Two more presidential issues, and we'll get to our stock picks. Mention, of course, you could follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter and myself, Andrew Horowitz, on Twitter. We need a few more followers. So if you can first go over and check out the mood button over on the donation page over on DH Unplugged, and then make sure to follow us on Twitter. And by the way, what's your opinion now that everybody has 280 characters on Twitter? Are you happy about this?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I've used it. The one thing it does is changes the way you tweet. Now you don't even really pay much attention to what you're typing. And so you can go on ramble. You ramble a little more. You don't have to keep it tight. And I kind of prefer forcing myself to keep it tight, because once in a while I can make a huge point in exactly 140 characters, and it would be right on the money when you hit the period at the end. Boom. I always thought that was fun. But now you don't even care. You just type away and you end it. When you end it, there's no countdown that I've never gotten to it anyway. I don't know if I'm a fan.
And the other problem is now that people are retweeting people's tweets. So now you got a 280 tweet that you're retweeting with 280 more characters, and it's like half the size of my whole mobile device. One tweet. I find that really annoying.
Bad for mobile.
Yeah. Let's see here. Greenpeace must be pissed about this. President Trump was treated to a state dinner in Vietnam, prominently featuring fish dishes, including a seafood soup containing shark fin.
Mm.
That's a whole big hubbaloo with the whole shark
fin. Yeah, they've been trying to push back on shark fin soup.
You've seen how they catch those sharks and what they do with them. I mean, they catch
the shark. Yeah, they chop the top off and
they chop the fins off and throw them back in the water.
Shark can't do anything.
Yeah. And then finally, in the presidential area, former president, this must have been fun for those that were involved with this, President Barack Obama, he showed up at a downtown Chicago courthouse for jury duty last week.
Yeah, they bumped him right off immediately.
Oh, did they? Did they really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at least he went. He didn't pull some strings to get off. That was probably a lot of fun for people.
He wasn't going anywhere. He just did it as a publicity stunt.
Oh, really?
Don't you think? I mean, they knew he was going to bump him.
I guess.
He can't go to a jury duty. He's got a bunch of Secret Service with him. And
Right. They got to be in the jury with him the whole time. Oh, that's got
to
be.
Yeah, that's what my thinking is. He has to be in there with the, you know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. So what are you writing for PC Magazine this week?
What was that? Now, see, I got back to my, I just saw this little line here. I said I could have looked it up real quick. It's something interesting, too. It's it's about Company Towns. Company Towns.
Company Towns. You mean like what the Amazon is trying to do, or are you looking at?
I don't know about the Amazon one, but Google's opening a town. They're creating a little planned community outside of Toronto. Bill Gates came out and bought 24,000 acres of desert in the middle of Arizona, and he's got a little company called Belmont. They're going to make this town called Belmont, and it's a planned community. It looks like a company town. It's of 80,000 houses and a big industrial little downtown with an industrial park and business centers in the middle of nowhere.
It's kind of like, it reminds me of like a little petting zoo for the rich.
So exactly the same.
Right?
So I went into the history and started looking into the whole thing. It's very interesting. There's a lot of, the planned communities go way back into the 1700s, maybe earlier. And there's, you know, we still have a couple of very interesting ones. And I recommend the one in Florida for people to just visit. I think it's just astonishing that it even exists, which is Celebration. Have you ever been there?
I've been there way back when. That was Disney community.
Yeah.
It was back when it was being planned. It was pretty impressive. I mean, it still is, but there's a lot of those these days, though. I mean, this is, you know, that's a big, they did that for a lot of reasons, though. They did it for the employees. They did it for bringing people to Orlando for their parks and all that. And there was business. The one that Billville is doing is a whole different thing. There's no real necessary reason for it.
Yeah, there's no real reason at all.
Except for the fact that he now has a town that he owns.
Yeah.
I own that city.
Finally own a town.
Yeah, I own a town. I own an island, you know, a mansion and a yacht. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. So we'll read that over in PC Magazine this week.
Yep.
Well, let's skip over to the stock picks this week. And I got to tell you, I'm very, very disappointed with something.
What might that be?
My overstock was blown out. And that was a few different reasons why. But it was up. It's up in 50 right now. Now, I'm still short this for clients. And I actually added to this like a maniac for the last few days. Came down about 11% today. So it's looking a lot better. But this overstock, they missed their numbers on their earnings report in terms of revenue. The big thing is going to be this ICO they have coming out, which is like a $500 million infusion to the company if it flies ever. Mm-hmm. And the big deal about, you can pay for things with coins these days. And it's still a company that's questionable at best.
No kidding. So, all right. Well, you're looking at this. There's a lot of red today. This is really, we're not looking good.
Nope.
PG&E's down. Global Star's down. Penske is down. These aren't big losses, 1.8%. Cara Therapeutics, 4% is not good. But Idera Pharmaceuticals, the Baker Brothers pick, 33%.
Huge. Boom. Beautiful. You see that email I sent you today with the Baker Brothers?
Yes. I think we should actually dedicate part of the show next, not this show, but the next show, to going over each of those individual stocks. We have a list of all the Baker Brothers holdings and what they're selling and what they're buying and what they're kind of, you know, getting, where they're taking more, they're buying more, and when they're buying less.
Yep.
Very good list.
Yep. I don't have anything for this week.
I don't either, curiously. Oh.
And did you see I sent you also a screenshot of what the site looks like? Did you see that?
Did you see it in the email?
In the same email, yeah.
Oh, that's what that other one.
I think I'm getting a cold.
It takes some vitamin D.
Every time I get on a plane, I got to wear a mask. I'm going to start wearing a mask.
You're going to start wearing a mask?
Yeah, on planes and
Did I tell you my bit where I'll explain? Let me take a look. Oh, yeah, the site looks terrific.
There you go.
So I'm going on this flight. I don't know where it was, but it was on Southwest. And there was a woman in the front seat, and there was a middle seat that was empty, and there was the aisle seat. So I grabbed, and it was in the front of the plane. It was a good roomy seat with leg room. So I sat in the aisle seat. And as people were starting to get on, the woman sitting over on the window puts on a mask.
Uh-huh.
And I'm watching. No, and the whole plane filled up completely except for the seat next to me. And it's in the front.
Yeah.
Because of the woman with the mask.
You think she bought the seat?
She what?
You think she
bought? No, she didn't buy this. Nobody bought the seat. She was wearing this mask and everyone was afraid they're going to get sick. This was during swine flu or one of these little moments. And so I realized that the way to go in these types of flights where you get to pick any seat you want is going with your wife or you or your wife, go to the window seat and put on a mask.
Yeah. That'll scare
and,
the crap.
And get a little spritzer. Get a spritzer and spray yourself so you look a little sweaty.
Oh, I see.
And then you sit on the out. That middle seat will never be picked.
You know, I mean, masks are very common in Asia.
Yeah, they are very common.
And they match, like they're on their little motorcycles and their helmets match their
Everybody's
mask.
Got masks on, yeah.
Yeah, they're all decorated and all designed.
Not here.
No. Here, you're looking like something's very wrong with you.
Yeah, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Exactly. So no one will pick that seat. This is the traveler's tip.
Ah, I like it. Very good. Well, more tips to come next week. Make sure to check out the Mood Button. And other than that, listen to No Agenda each and every week on Thursdays and Sundays for heaps of good information. And also, are you having a listener call-in show or something? Did I see something about that?
No. We're doing a redo of one of the old shows where we discussed the origins of the show and how, you know, and we wanted people to ask some questions. And we did that before.
Gotcha. And then, you know, you sent out I got something at like very late in the morning over the weekend that seemed like it was a newsletter. I don't know what it was. You sent it out very early in the morning. You must have been working late. It must have been the last newsletter.
All right. It was an interesting error. Oh. I'll tell you about it sometime.
All right. Anyway, we'll see you next
week.
You've
been listening on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.